everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. We're here today with Lucas.
Hello. How's it going, guys? Good to be back.
It's been a long time. I actually went on to Spotify this morning to see when you were on this podcast last, and it was in episode number 38 about getting a green card.
That's right. It's been a long time, huh?
Yeah, it's been some years. So yeah, Lucas has been living in the United States, obviously. We're married. And today he's here to talk about something very exciting that we did in the past month and a half.
Yeah.
What did we do?
We moved across country. We moved from California to North Carolina.
Right. And if you're not familiar with U.S. geography, California is on the West Coast. It is next to the Pacific Ocean. And North Carolina is on the East Coast. It is on the Atlantic Ocean. And so the distance from California to North Carolina is approximately 2,300 miles,
yep.
We calculated, or
3,400 kilometers, something like that.
Right. And so Lucas, last month, invited a friend from Brazil, Hafa, yep. Mm-hmm. to drive a U-Haul all yep. the way from California to North Carolina.
That's right. It was quite an adventure.
And so today we thought, why not share everything about the moving experience with you? And yeah, I think it could be very interesting and informative.
Yeah. I mean, there is like the basics when it comes to moving in the United States that differs from other countries like Brazil, like mm-hmm. my country. For instance, like you said, the U-Haul. That's a company that you can rent the truck or whatever you need and drive it yourself. Like, yeah. I've never heard anything like that in Brazil. You gotta, you know, pay the driver and he has a truck and you can load it in his truck and then he's gonna drive mm-hmm. it. Also, you have this option here too, but it's much more expensive.
Right.
But, and not as fun, you know? So we decided to rent yeah. a giant truck, 26 feet long. So my good friend Hafa came and we did the trip together. We did it in 4 days. And
yeah. Was it 4 days or 5 days?
It was 4 days total. Okay. We had a stop in Nashville. Mm-hmm. We're both musicians and Nashville is like Disneyland.
Yeah, but we'll get to that part.
Okay.
So Lucas mentioned U-Haul. That is the company that a lot of people go to, even when they need to do trips within a city, moving from maybe one area of town to the next, they might rent a U-Haul truck per hour. Normally, they have advertisements on the side like $19.95 per hour or whatnot. But if you're traveling across country, the price goes up. And the size of the truck also plays a role in how much you're going to pay for a trip. So, for example, do you remember how much we paid to transport all our stuff from California to North Carolina?
Yes. They only care about the mileage and the days, of course. So the days that you're going to have the truck and how long you're going to drive. So you input where you're going from and where you're going to. Mm-hmm. And then they give you an estimate. And mm-hmm. they say, oh, like in our case, we pay $5,000 to drive up to 2,500 miles. For 8 days. So in that period, you can drive the truck wherever you want. If you cross the mileage, then you pay extra. Say you can do your trip in 4 days, like we did. We had some extra days to keep the truck around, to unload it in our own time. And then, you know, close to the 8 days that they gave us, then we returned the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's 26 feet long. Is that scary to drive a truck that's that long?
It is. It was not my first rodeo. It was, you know, we moved.
Nice expression.
Yeah. We moved from Northern California to Southern California one time, and we got a 15 foot long truck, and that was already scary. This time it was like a full size 26 foot long. The truck itself a lot bigger and a lot, you know, it feels like doing turns and all that, and like parking mm-hmm. for gas and finding spots to park, it's very tricky if you don't have the experience. Luckily for me, you know, I had a little bit of experience with the other truck, mm-hmm. so it was not as bad. And right. and the route that we decided to take was not as mountainy. Is that how you say it?
Mountainous.
Mm-hmm. So it was piece of cake.
If you're going to go take a scenic route across the United States, it's not going to be the one the one that you took.
I had no idea. I just put it on the map and I was like, okay, this is the short route. This is what I'm going to do. When the guy came to pick up our cars, and a little bit on that, you know, if you're planning to move across country in the United States, it's so long that driving your cars involves more people, more hotels, mm-hmm. gas, and like maintenance in your car that is not worth it. So just mm-hmm. ship your car. They have the company that you just pay. They load your car and they drop it there in your new address.
Right. So we paid like $1,200 for two cars or
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Which mm-hmm. was a good deal. So that's mm-hmm. what we did. The cars actually arrived in the house before we did. So when this guy came, I was just chatting with him. He was a really cool guy. And I was like, and he actually asked, oh, so you're going there? I live close. Like, what route are you going to take? And then I pulled mm-hmm. up the map and I showed, I put it here on the map and he gave me this. He was like, well, that's definitely the prettiest route, but that's mm-hmm. very mountainous, right? Mm-hmm. You go through Colorado and stuff, and it was getting close to winter, or it was already in winter. Mm-hmm. It was like, there's a big chance you're going to hit snow. You're going to have a loaded truck, heavy truck. You're going to go, you know, on steep slopes, mm-hmm. and you're going to spend more gas, and it's going to be more dangerous. He mm-hmm. was like, if I were you, I would go south. And then he showed me on the map. It's super easy, actually. You take Highway 10, and then Highway 20, and then 30, and then 40. It's really straightforward, actually. Really? Like, the United States made it really easy to understand the highways. And then he said, it's not going to be nearly as pretty. It's going to be desert. You're going to go through Arizona, New Mexico, mm-hmm. Texas. And then from Texas, you're going to go Arkansas until you get to Tennessee.
Yeah.
So it was very smart. And he was like, there's no mountain, there's no snow.
Yeah.
It's flat. So your truck's going to do a better job. And then he said, if you're coming back unloaded, which is like very unlikely for anyone, then you take the scenic route through mm-hmm. Colorado. Gotcha. Really interesting, like this, that sort of stuff that you can only get from like an experienced person. Not even the map is going to, you know, give you that insight, right?
Right. Yeah. Although I did look up right before this, if someone does plan on taking a trip across the United States, there is a website called Road Trip USA that shows a number of different routes from the South Pacific way down south all the way up to the Great Northern route up near Canada. And so if you're doing a road trip across the US, do your research.
Yep.
Look at all the places that you're going to hit, because I think each route offers something. I think the route that Lucas chose was not as scenic. I called you every day and I said, what are you looking at? What kind of sights do you see? And you said, it's a bunch of nothing.
It was a big desert until you get to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. When you cross from Texas, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, they're really similar.
Very dry,
very
right?
dry, very flat. Mm-hmm. But some interesting things. You hear a lot about some cities that you don't have a picture of how they look. Like Little Rock.
Little Rock, Arkansas. Uh-huh.
Arkansas, Little Rock. What is the one in Arizona? Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
The famous one in New Mexico.
Albuquerque.
There was one in Texas. Anyway, there were some cities that were just massive. Mm-hmm. Huge, that you had no idea. You thought it was like just this little town. And then when you drive through it, it was like, wow, there's like this enormous city here in the middle of like what looks like nowhere. But of course, if you're there, it's just another place of the state. But it's kind of an eye-opener. That mm-hmm. is a lot going on in some of the states that we don't go out very often.
That's
a lot
so
of
true.
Really fun cities going on. And you can see like some cities that have casinos and like big stadiums and parks, like theme parks mm-hmm. in the middle of, you know, Texas, the middle of New Mexico.
That's why I think a lot of people, when they think of the United States, they imagine they've got one vision in their mind of what it is. But truly, each state has something to offer. And states are so different because, I mean, not only are state laws a thing where we have a lot of states that have different regulations from like just over the border, like you can buy marijuana in one and not in the other, or like you can go to casinos in one and not in the other. Yep. And just the cultural experience going from one place to the next is, it can be really enriching. And people are very different too.
True.
Especially once you get towards the South.
Yes.
Right? Where hospitality, it's so in your face.
Yep.
That I actually had to reflect on my own disposition, my facial expressions, because a lot of times people are so friendly and smiley that I go, wow, am I being rude? Am I being mean?
Yep.
Like, how just, am I? You
different.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another fun thing that is in regards to that is when you're driving from one place to the other, you know, you're stopping to sleep in hotels, you're going to restaurants, convenience store, gas station, and then you talk to people from different states, and then you see the food changing from state to state. You see the accent changing a lot. You know, the energy is different. And I wouldn't say it's worse or better in different places. Just like, it was like, well, there's clearly a difference. The place where you live kind of shapes you.
Right.
And in a trip like that, you can definitely see that. So if you're doing something like this, maybe you're not even moving. Maybe you're planning to come to the United States and drive across, which is really cool. Definitely, if you don't have a big truck, definitely take the scenic routes. Mm-hmm. There are many that you hit the national parks and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But make an effort to, you know, stop at the hotels and talk to people in the restaurants and notice how big of a change it is between each state.
You know? You guys actually made an effort to talk to people?
You know, naturally, when you're in the restaurant, when you get information, when you're talking to the guy at the gas station, at the hotel, checking in, just by basic interaction, you can already tell a big difference.
Speaking of that difference in the restaurants, did you get to have barbecue in the South?
Oh, yeah. So in each state, you kind of had like a goal, like, oh, we're going to go to New Mexico. We drove right next to the border of Mexico, so like we're gonna have some really good Mexican food there.
And good, we did tacos and burritos
and we did like good great stuff. And then we get to Texas and you're like, okay, here you come, barbecue. Barbecue time.
Barbecue. And what are they famous for?
So they're famous for their brisket, for their ribs.
What's brisket for people that are listening?
So brisket is the front part of the cow, like it's like the chest, like down the neck. So it's naturally a really tough, big, giant hunk of meat, piece of meat, but really tough, that needs like long hours in smoke, the way they cook it there, in barbecue smoke. And then after 12 hours of cooking the right way, it just melts in your mouth and has a really unique flavor. So that's one of the staples in, when it comes to Texas barbecue.
Right, and had the fixins too, right?
The fixins,
are the sides.
The beans and also the
mac and cheese.
The mac and cheese and the potato, the potato salad. Very classic.
Oh, there's just a lot of fixins.
Oh, I love Texan food. I mean, Texas food for me, it hits the spot. But then once you cross to Arkansas, it's like close to Tennessee, then it's like they're really big on fried chicken and they're spicy chicken. And then it's cool to do some research before and see what's their thing, food-wise. And then you already look for the restaurants along the route. I think that's what makes the trip so fun, is knowing that you're going to hit different spots, you're going to see different people and eat different food. Yeah.
You brought a friend over from Brazil.
Right.
Like, thank goodness Hoppe was there with you.
Right.
But I'm wondering how his impression was, like, driving across. What place stood out to him? What did he like the most? Was it just Nashville because of music?
You know, in Brazil, you don't have a lot of deserts. You have dunes, but they don't look like what you guys have here. So there's a part when you're driving end of Arizona to New Mexico, beginning of Texas, that is like a classic desert looking thing where you see hay balls. Hay, how to say that? Hay.
Oh, they're not hay.
They're not hay. They're like, you know, those
tumbleweeds. Yeah, that looks like the old Looney Tunes shows where you see Wile E. Coyote going and there's tumbleweeds rolling along.
So we made comments of like, wow, when we were watching those cartoons, they were big in Brazil.
Right.
We thought they were like, imagination, like people drawing that stuff.
Oh, just inventing it?
Yeah, we didn't know, like maybe, or they were like exaggerating that sort of scene, like, oh, like the, yeah, the Road Runner and the, you know.
Yeah, that's in Monument Valley.
And then when we got to some certain spots in the desert, it was like, oh my God, it's just like that, the cactus and the, you know, mm-hmm. those, what's the name of the, again, of that?
The
ball that rolls like
tumbleweed
and also the red mountains and the rock formations,
right?
And I was like, wow, that was, for Brazilians, the desert was really impressive.
Okay,
you know, because we're used to forests, we're used to, but also when it comes to regions with a lot of trees, when you get to Arkansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina especially, then the trees just take over,
right?
And they're really different trees than what we have in Brazil. They're like tall trees, they're
a
lot of pine trees and a lot of oak trees that shoot really high in the straight trunks. Very different than Brazil. That's really impressive for us.
Yeah, I think that's actually an important thing to mention too. When we first got to North Carolina, which we haven't even explained why we moved here, but we can get to that in 1 second. When we got here, I met up with some teacher at a school to ask about the school for the girls, and I said Appalachian Mountains, which is, there's a mountain range called, and if you're from California, it's called the Appalachian Mountain Range. And the guy said, you know what? I'm protecting you. You are going to be considered ignorant in the South if you ever say Appalachian. You have to say Appalachian. So I'm just letting you guys know, you will hear people say Appalachian in the South. That is their pronunciation for their mountain range. And there's a lot of history and tradition that goes along with it. So,
and it's just gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Just,
like when we drove, for Brazilians, it's also really weird to see trees with no leaves, just sticks. It was just sticks. And for half, especially, I've seen it, but half was like, wow, there's not a single leaf. And they all fall down. I was like, yep, that's... And
that's so weird that you guys don't have seasons where there's
Brazil's
trees
evergreen,
just dropping.
Evergreen, always. And I'm sure some parts in the north, maybe.
Yeah, you guys are a massive country.
It's big. Yeah, but most, I'd say 90% of Brazil is evergreen. And so even, you know, you come to North Carolina in the fall, it's just so beautiful. But for a Brazilian, seeing no leaves is impressive. It's like it's a new thing for your eyes.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
Although I would recommend coming in October rather than seeing the sticks, because it is, the oranges, yellows, and reds probably trump just sticks. Yeah. So beautiful things, Appalachians. If you end up in the Appalachians, I should say, make sure to go to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. It's actually the number one national park in the United States. It's only an hour away from where we currently live.
Did you know that before moving here?
I did know that because I did a lesson. One. Yeah, I did a lesson on geography, and that was, I think, in my geography lesson.
Isn't it weird though? Because we hear a lot about Yosemite, Yellowstone, all those. And that one, for me, I never heard of it, and it's the number one.
Yeah. Well, you know why I think it is? Now that I really consider just where people are located. Yosemite's to me the most mind-blowing place I've ever been. It's just stunning. But it's next to areas of California where there are fewer people, Nevada, where the population is a little bit more sparse. And if you're in near the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, you've got Tennessee, like Virginia, like Georgia, Atlanta, all of these places that have, like, the population is pretty high. And I think that's just, you know, hey, where do you want to go this weekend? Oh, they can just pop on over to the national park. And
just
think that's...
Center point for all the... everybody around.
Yeah. But I think that plays into it. I haven't been there yet, so maybe it's just the most beautiful place ever and it's better than Yosemite, which is hard to believe. But I think the population...
I think you're a little biased because you're from California.
Yosemite's really incredible. Hey, John Muir, he traveled across the United States, and he said that was the best place that he ever went. So
there you go. So three national parks for everybody to visit. This three? One, what's the name?
Great Smoky Mountains.
Great
national
Smoky
Park.
Mountains, Yosemite, and Yellowstone.
Oh, Yellowstone we didn't mention, but that's way up north.
I know.
Yeah. Or Monument Valley, which we were talking about Roadrunner, and that's where that actually took place.
There you
see a lot of tumbleweeds in those big red buttes or the rock formations out in the middle of nowhere. So before we end this chat, I do have a few other questions for you. Number one, why are we moving, or why did we move to North Carolina?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, huh? Everybody asks us. I think we have different point of views, but they merge somewhere. For me, geographically, makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was, because of work, I was traveling to Miami a lot. And traveling from LA to Miami feels like traveling abroad. It's so far. Mm-hmm. It's almost 6 hours. So from here to Miami is 1 hour and 20 minutes. From mm-hmm. here to New York is 1 hour and 20 minutes flying. I can mm-hmm. drive to Nashville. I can drive to Atlanta. Those are two big music cities.
Mm-hmm.
We can fly to LA or Sacramento, no problem. And it's 4 hours closer to Brazil flying.
Right.
So geographically is a special place. And then on top of that, we were looking for, you know, a place next to nature.
Mm-hmm.
A place where, you know, we could hike more and we could see more trees and, you know, a little different than what we had in LA. And then you can weigh in on why Asheville, because I, you know, before you mentioned that, it was so fast. I've never heard of the city at all.
I mean, I could say a million things about Asheville. If you look on YouTube and you type in Asheville, you're going to find a video about this place and just the surrounding area, and you're going to go, oh, I understand now. For me, I have an obsession with Berlin, Germany. It's artsy, it's edgy. I mean, obviously, it's changed a lot over the years. But for me, I get this vibe that Asheville is what Berlin was maybe in the 90s, in the mountains, though, and then surrounded by waterfalls and the largest mansion, the Biltmore Estate.
Yep.
So there's just a number of things to do. I feel like you could never get bored.
Some of the highlights of Asheville, I think, you know, there's over 40 breweries in the city.
Right.
There are over 150 waterfalls in a, I think it's a 50-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of hiking.
Great weather.
There's a food scene.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big food scene. A lot of interesting restaurants, unique places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend from Nashville that he said, oh, it's normal for people to travel to Asheville, which is like a 4-hour drive, just to eat, because mm-hmm. there's so many cool restaurants. There's also a music scene, and it's kind of, would you say it's a little bit hippie-ish?
I wouldn't say like alternative. I would say like it's more, mm-hmm. it's up and coming. Like, I get the impression that it's also a pre-Nashville, like it's before Nashville became Nashville, like this is what Asheville is right now. There's a, like every single person we've talked to either plays the guitar or sings.
That's true. And
that's crazy.
Also on top of that, very important, it's
live music too.
Yeah, it's very artsy. There is the arts, the
River Arts District.
That one.
Right.
Where,
that's
you
the
know,
area that reminds me a lot of Berlin.
Yeah, apparently, how was it? Like, there was a bunch of like abandoned warehouses, and mm-hmm. then the city kind of let the artists install their shops there.
Right.
So they transformed this whole area in like a lot of, you know, art studios where people are doing all sorts of arts, from sculpting to painting to
ton of ceramics.
Yeah.
And murals too on the wall. It reminds me so much of Kreuzberg in Berlin.
Yeah.
You've got just art everywhere. And the vibe, just walking through there, you feel something special. Like something's being created here.
So there you go. You put one and two together. How do you say it? Two and two together.
One and two together.
Makes three, or two and two together makes four. And but that's the reason why we moved here.
And it's cheaper too, which I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want to be transparent about the prices that we were paying, because you guys are, some of you are probably thinking about moving to the US, and I just want to let you know. I mean, that's what this podcast is about, right? So on our very simple house that we were living in the Valley, so not in the heart of LA, we spent over, it was $4,000 a month just on rent.
Yes.
Right. And it was not a special house at all.
Nope.
And the area wasn't that wonderful. It was okay. You know, childcare was much more expensive. Like, you start adding things up and you're getting close to $10,000 a month.
Right.
Yeah. On spending.
Easily.
Easily.
With kids, yeah.
Whereas here, it's like less than half of that.
Exactly.
So, you know, you just...
So, yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, we moved to LA for a reason. We needed the city for a while because of the music scene. But if you're moving to the United States, if you want to, unless you absolutely love LA for the reasons, like for the nature and all the stuff, for Yosemite,
for the beaches,
you want to be close to that, all that stuff, sure, you're going to pay the price.
It's not at all close to Yosemite.
But it's the driving distance, right? Like, say you want to be...
That's really far.
4 hours?
4.5 hours.
Yeah. That, not for a Brazilian.
So. Okay.
If you don't have a reason to be in LA, and you're maybe not on a budget, but it matters how much you're going to pay, do not go to LA.
Right.
The United States has so many hidden gems, I would say, to explore. I mean, we can talk about Austin. We can talk about Idaho. We can talk about, you know, a Salt Lake City, the East Coast.
There's just so many cool cities, yeah, with a bunch of things to offer. So
yeah, unless you have to be there, I would choose a different place because it's really expensive.
Yeah. Is there any other piece of advice that you'd like to give people listening about moving across country? I actually have one thing, okay, I would like to say. But yeah, you go first.
Okay. Boxes at Home Depot is cheaper than...
Are cheaper than
in at U-Haul or any other, you know, from my research. So I would buy boxes from Home Depot, but also look on Marketplace.
Take your Amazon orders and just reuse your boxes.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you need like bigger boxes. And
gotcha. Yeah.
But also Facebook Marketplace, people would just give away boxes.
Exactly.
What else? Definitely hire help to load your truck if you have a lot of stuff, because it's not just about saving money or loading yourself. It's about making sure this stuff don't move.
Doesn't move.
Because the truck moves a lot and jumps, and you don't want all your stuff just loose there inside the vault.
Yeah, getting ruined.
Breaking. So they did a great job just making sure everything was so tight and with ropes. So it's worth hiring some help. I think that would be my thing.
Yeah.
And definitely don't overextend your drive. How would you say that? Don't drive too much.
Yeah.
Like, set a goal, like, okay, I'm going to drive 7 to 8 hours, something that you're normally comfortable, and do sleep and do stop at a hotel. Don't force it, because it can be really dangerous, especially at night.
Right. Do you know how much you spent on gas?
$1,000.
$1,000 on gas.
$1,000, it was almost round, because, the truck just drinks it was like, that stuff.
It's, I know, in loaded, California, you know? Filling up, it was, what, $2.30, and then you went across, like... To
California is almost $6, right? The gas.
No. What I'm saying is, when in California, when you filled up the tank, it was like $230 versus going to the next state, and it was like $120.
Yeah, half of the price.
Yeah. It's crazy.
How about you?
Yeah. The only other tip I had was, if you're moving addresses in the U.S., go directly to USPS, the United States Postal Service. You can get informed delivery, and you can figure out what letters were being sent to your old address and have them forwarded for a total of like $1 to your new address, so that, you know, you don't miss out on any of your mail.
Yep.
Other than that, I don't have any other tips, I think. Do you have anything else?
That's pretty much it. Make sure you just don't drive. Just make sure you take in the places you're going to hit, because it's just like in Brazil, when you travel north to south, it changes so much that it would be, if you're just driving and sleeping in, you can learn a lot just by, you know, doing some simple things and taking a break on each state and just taking it in and, you know, add that to your experience.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.